the love is a lot of fun.
Viel mehr Spaß als irgendwas.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
One could say that. So, Ryan, signing off.
Rest dog. Thanks for letting me bleed a few minutes into your time.
That's all right. We can always do with some cultural enlightenment.
Yeah.
As you can say.
Definitely.
Do you feel like you've been culturally enlightened over the past 12 months?
You know, not at all.
To be quite honest,
yeah,
not at
real
all.
Talk.
Real talk. All right. Well, how are you going to be spending your last couple days in Vancouver?
I'm going to Shindig tomorrow.
Very good. That's some good radio work.
Yeah. By the way. And
some promo work.
Going to go vote for Stephen Harper after this.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then what's on Wednesday? There's a thing. Oh, the Courtneys are playing and Cave Girl.
Okay.
Probably go to that. That's three things that you could do in 3 days. Except for do not vote for Stephen Harper.
All right.
Ever.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for being handsome and an awesome and a very nice guy.
I try to do a couple of those things.
Yeah. You do them well. And a good rapper.
I don't pick that up very well, but, you know, I try.
Yeah.
I try. All right.
All right. Have a good show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. All right.
We're going to hear.
Goodbye, everyone.
We're going to hear some aught to start things. And yes, I've played this plenty of times, but there's going to be an interview that I did with the band coming up. So you're listening to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. This song is called Never Better from Ott's new record, Sun Coming Down. On the other side of it, you'll hear an interview I did with the band last week before they played here at Redgate last Wednesday. Gonna just say, before it goes on, that some noises in the background, there were couches being moved during the first half of the interview. So there was like these scrapings and things like that, kind of annoying.
Like
just
this?
Kind of like that, yeah. And sometimes you just feel like, what? I'm not gonna say what I wanna say. Anyhow, that's going on in the background a little bit. Bear with me. I think it's a solid chat that I had with the guys from Ott. So stay tuned. This is Never Better off their new record. You're listening to The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM.
Chain, left hand, the wave, the right calm, the rain. rock band from Montreal named Ott. How is everybody doing? Do you want to maybe go around, introduce yourselves, and tell us what you do in the band?
Hi, I'm Ben. I play bass.
I'm Tim Darcy. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Tim Keane. I play drums.
I'm Matt May, and I play keyboard.
All right, two Tims. Has that ever been confusing? Do you just switch roles sometimes?
Almost every day.
Yeah, we're kind of interchangeable as people.
Right. Tim used to sing and play guitar, and now he switched.
Thought it was a good change-up. Yeah. All right.
We're
sounds good.
Drum traps.
Yeah. How has the travel to Vancouver been? It's been somewhat eventful.
It's been somewhat eventful. We stopped in Kamloops last night.
Okay.
And had one of my favorite breakfasts of my life.
It was a very good breakfast.
Yeah,
we've been talking about this breakfast place for almost a year now, probably.
We went there about a year ago.
Oh,
almost
okay.
A year. On a very similar tour.
We ate it again. It was still good.
It was still
extremely good.
They kept it warm in the oven for us from last time. It's a long time. But.
Yeah, yeah. Well, is there a specialty to it? Is there any twist to this restaurant, or is it?
There's no real twist. It's called, I don't know if I should I shout it out. It's called Hello Toast. Just a shout out. Hello Toast in Kamloops. I don't think there's any special twist. I think it's just very good.
I think what it is that it's our first, like, on a tour routing, it's inevitably your first taste of, like, West Coast breakfast brunch style.
Right.
So you're kind of overwhelmed by the, like, positivity.
Portion sizes
and general cheeriness.
Yeah, Vancouver is a real brunch town, I would say,
and
British Columbia in general.
You've been starved of brunch for a while, and then you hit it.
Yeah, yeah. So, starting simple, how has the reception for the new record gone, and tour in general? Has it been successful? Been happy with it?
Yeah. The shows have been really good. Seems like people are responding to the new songs really well. Like, people seem to know them and are more familiar with them than, like, even just the start of the tour.
All right. What is the band name referring to? I feel like it could go a couple different ways. So I wrote down a couple things. Ought to either accept everyday life and how boring it can be, or ought to recognize minutiae in day-to-day life and then try to make it exciting. Are there any thoughts to that?
Are you asking for the actual reason why we called
it that?
I'm asking.
Why the band is called that?
Yeah,
is because Tim Keane jokingly said the word art as a band name with an Australian accent, which is rendered as alt. I mean, if there's something there for you.
Well, I think to just add to that is, like, for the one thing, it's like that is just the name. That's, like, why we chose it, in the sense of, like, that is, like, the origin story of, like, where the idea came from. But I think we obviously chose it because we also, like, you know, we liked it, and we liked the, like, sound of it and the look of it. Like, if Tim had made some very crass joke, we probably wouldn't have named it.
Probably wouldn't have called our band Crass.
We probably wouldn't have called our band Crass.
Yeah.
No. He suggested three S's, but I didn't feel like that was different enough.
Crass. It's like crosses.
Crass. Yeah,
crosses.
Yeah.
That's very good. I mean, there's
a
band.
That's a tweet.
Oh, you can't tweet anymore.
Yeah, I wish
listeners of CITO.
Anyhow, how do you feel about repetition in music? There's a lot of your songs are very long, and a lot of the same rhythms happening. Before I get into why I'm asking, maybe we'll get the answer before I ask it.
Matt loves it, I hate it.
Okay. You don't like repetition?
That's a joke. I love.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's.
I would be. It would be difficult to be in this if you didn't like repetition. You would be constantly. The internal struggle of being in this band would be significant.
Are there certain, like, influences that have led to that?
I think it's probably more of us just jamming and, like, not talking too much about where songs are going, and only talking about them when songs are further developed. And so, like, that's probably one of the reasons the songs are longer, because we're, like, negotiating space as we go along without being like, this should be 16 bars or anything like that.
Okay.
So it just kind of happens like that, and happens to, like, accommodate Tim ad-libbing lyrics and things like that.
Yeah.
That's probably the most, like, material reason why it happened.
Okay.
In my opinion.
There's a There's an old song that says, that calls it the three R's, repetition, 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 which would be, anybody?
I don't know.
No, but that's very funny.
Okay. It's,
I don't know.
It's Repetition by the Fall.
Oh.
Smith. Have you got?
That was a test.
It was a test.
At one point, I was like, is this the Fall? And I'm like, I'm not going to say it in order so I can claim ignorance.
I think there are clear...
just that now, it's all over.
I think there are clear aspects of the Fall in your music. And have you gotten that before? Is it something that bothers you that people tell you that a lot, or do you not hear it all that often? And Marky Smith in general, the style of singing and
We're hearing it way. I'm hearing it way more on this album.
The new one, yeah.
Like people are bringing it up. I think it like again like I don't know how. I have a pretty good idea how familiar everybody is with that band, but it's not super familiar. But I definitely hear the parallels. Like there's something about the like energy of some of their music that I hear in some of our music.
Yeah.
I get that.
It's interesting because it's as if like two people, like I like The Fall, or I've seen The Fall, they're an important band to me, but I don't like listen to them on a daily basis, and like I haven't listened to them in quite a while, and like when I'm, especially like when I'm writing about this, like in this band, or like, thinking of this band, like they're definitely not the first band that comes to mind, but like I definitely listen to, I listened to a full record I hadn't listened to the other day. It's like The Weird and Wonderful World of the Fall.
The Wonderful
and Frank. I was listening to it and I'm like, shit, alright. It does sound like a Fall. But I think it's like if like two people like build a house without looking at each other's like house plan, you know, you can be talking about the same thing. Like, or like you happen to have like similar like drumming or whatever, you know, like I think it would be naive of us, or at least for me, it would be naive to be like, we don't sound anything like this. Like
Yeah, it's interesting because it's the first thing I think of when I hear it, and I'm a huge Fall fan, that's why I really enjoy your music, but it's almost refreshing to hear that that's not where you're coming from necessarily, because then it isn't like any sort of imitation, it's more doing your own thing.
I find it interesting. I was talking with somebody about it yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess, actually, and like, to me, I don't know, the way I was thinking of it is it's more curiosity that it happened than it like an influence, and it's like... It's, I don't know, at any point we've been working on songs, I never really thought, especially before the first record came out, I never would have said, like, I don't know, we kind of sound like Talking Heads, or we kind of sound like The Fall, but then as soon as it came out, it was one of those things where I'm like, oh, okay, I can kind of hear, like, that was definitely not intentional in any way, for me at least, but it's like, I can definitely, like, see that, it's just, I find it so curious just because, like, It just wasn't intentional. Like it wasn't, you know, there was never a conversation, and I never even would have described their band to friends as being like, we kind of sound like this.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Are there any other surprising influences that you might have, or guilty pleasures that you guys listen to that people wouldn't be aware of?
I feel like it's all obvious to us because we spend so much time together. I don't really believe in guilty pleasures. Like a lot of the music I listen to is like guilty, I guess. But it's definitely a pleasure.
I think the influences would be surprising in that, like, I mean, I think we all, to various degrees, listen to like rock music and like guitar music and stuff. But I think. Like very little of the things that each of us really likes, like a band or a record or something that is like really excites us. I think that rarely finds its way directly into the music. Like some examples, maybe like something like Yo La Tengo is like a little bit more direct in the way it influences maybe. But like, I mean, I listen to Grouper a lot, and I listen to this guy Liam the Younger, and like. Level Up and Mitski, and like that stuff doesn't really like ever find its way into it directly. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure subconsciously there's aspects of it maybe. If you were to like list our influences, it would be, I don't know, like it would be, I feel like it would be interesting maybe. Just in that it's not what we sound like.
I think it's nice to like think of the way that you're influenced by things to be a little deeper than like sonics. Like I would feel a little the idea of being like, here are my influences, so I'm going to like try to like copy the tone that this band has used, or like the inflection, like that's like a little, feels a little superficial to me. Like it's more like I listen to this music and like be like, how is it getting at what it's getting at, or like what emotion does it make me feel, and like being influenced by like that thing, I think is more like like, you can be then be influenced by, like, a whole lot of weird stuff, and it, like, doesn't actually matter to your music, and then you just make your music, and it is what it, whatever it is. Like, I think of influence as a little bit more, like, ephemeral than, oh, yeah, I really like that drum beat, so I'm going to use
right,
it.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It's a little...
Yeah, that's a good point. For an example, like, in the Vance, we were all talking about Fortet, and we all listened to Fortet, and we liked it.
Yeah. He doesn't ask, is there anybody that controls the tunes in the car and drives everybody else crazy, or is it a mutual acceptance?
Well,
guess DJ shifts.
Yeah. Okay, all right, yeah.
I mean, mostly, like, Amy, who does sound for us and does, like, tour managing in the U.S. with us, she's usually driving, so if she's not directly picking it, it's usually, like, does this vibe with, you know, where
yeah.
she's at right now.
Yeah.
But mostly we've been listening to Harry Potter. In fact, we just finished...
Oh, audiobooks?
Yeah, yeah. We just finished the last one today. If anything, I think we sound like Harry Potter.
I think, I mean, it's like the honestly, the influence that most of us have spent, like, we've spent the most collective time with, like, 7 Harry Potter audiobooks is a lot of time.
Yeah, it's so many hours.
An incredible amount of time.
So you've actually gone through all 7.
Yeah, we've started it over a year, from June 2014 to now.
We started on our first album tour.
We only listened to them on North American tour.
Which means it really only took us like 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't spend a lot of time listening to it yet.
It's actually yeah.
It's shocking. It's incredible.
What's next then?
Probably 100 games.
Is it?
Maybe
yeah.
Golden Compass.
Or, Hunger Games is going to be quick. That's going to be like
yeah,
2 days.
Second.
Golden Compass, like the His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman.
Yeah, okay.
I know.
Yeah. All these books are at the right intellectual level for like listening to in a band.
Yeah,
like,
they can kind of just
gloss
over.
And then come back
yeah,
down.
Yeah. You get back and there's just
yeah.
like weird battles
and
going on.
There's like a motive in this play that like will get to you like regardless of how you're feeling. Like you don't have to like totally understand the plot to be like moved by it.
Yeah. There's what else? There's like Artemis Fowl. Really childish one, but I love these. There's a series of unfortunate events.
Oh my
and
god!
You crank
yeah,
those
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Like, again, that's gonna be like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're gonna go
I
through all of this.
So
they'd be tough to do an audiobook with those. There are too many weird little tricks that the person uses when he's writing. But those are good ones.
And they're quite short.
Yeah. You do those like 20 minutes.
You listen to your audiobooks at like times 6 speed.
Yeah.
You do the Hunger Games in 5 minutes.
Sure, yeah, well, can't take too much of it. I'm going to suggest one more, and it's Shakespeare Star Wars. So they go through the plot of Star Wars, the movies, but they write out this script in like iambic pentameter or whatever, and use like
oh, wow.
Shakespeare language, and you have all these actors doing the parts. It's
oh,
really
God,
funny. It's pretty. You
yeah.
get lost a little bit, but it's pretty, pretty funny.
Sure. I think that is very much up our alley.
It'll be good. It'll put you in the right frame of mind.
Ben suggested Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
But
you have to pay attention
like 12,
to that.
I suggested Angels and Demons.
Sorry,
which
Angels
is
yeah,
the superior work.
That's
yeah.
a great
yeah.
novel. That's a great novel.
Don't insult
that
about his religious scholarship is second to none.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You say that as if you have some religious knowledge.
I have a degree in religious studies.
That's interesting. Wait, no, serious, because I did that in undergrad as well. So I,
you did?
Yeah, I spent a year in Berlin doing like Christian theology. And
oh,
stuff.
Amazing.
Wow. That's,
who'd you do?
Well, lots of different like Protestant theologians
like
being in Germany. Yeah, Schleiermacher and Bart, obviously.
I'd like to point out to the radio audience that Ben just did like a fist bump.
Yeah.
In excitement, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Where did you do that at?
McGill. I did like mostly Buddhism, some Christianity, some Judaism, but yeah.
Mm. Ben's also reading the Torah right now.
And I'm reading the Torah.
Oh, that's intense. So what are the different layers? There's the Torah, then there's the Mishnah, the square around it, right?
Yeah.
Like the commentary. And can
the
you
Mishnah
break down how that works?
Gemara, that's part of the Talmud, and then in the Tanakh, there's the Torah, the Kevid team, which is like the prophets, and then there's the other one, which is the writings, so like Song of Songs and Ruth and Proverbs and Psalms.
Yeah.
But I'm like still on Genesis, and we've been on tour for because I've got one with like a massive commentary. So
right.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, that's crazy.
Rabbi Ben blah, 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 says this, and then this guy says this, and just layers on layers. Yeah, that's fascinating. Okay. Do you know Hebrew or Arabic?
No, I really wish. I studied classical Tibetan.
Oh.
And then obviously went like the opposite direction, meaning not Hebrew.
Oh, all right. Taking a shift back to the music, the definition between the two full lengths for me is the first one seems almost hopeful and inspiring, versus the second one has a more disgruntled, frantic tone. Would you agree with that, or do you think there's something else?
I think it's interesting because this question comes up sometimes, and like I think somebody said this the other day when we got asked something like this, where it's like some people will say that like the new record sounds really dark, and like other people will say, so the new record is like much more hopeful, and it's just like really funny, because like I don't know, to me it like I would think I would agree more with the sentiment that it feels like a little more somber maybe in some ways, or not somber, but like maybe a little bit darker in some ways, but it's just interesting that people's reaction is very much like a reflection of just like I think where they're at more than maybe the like record itself.
Yeah, I think the record, it's like a Rorschach test.
Yeah.
Now we know something about you. You told us that.
We're going to think a lot about
it. I'm going to refer to a psychologist.
Sure, that's fine. Lyrical content, I see as kind of looking at everyday occurrences or everyday life, day-to-day, quotidian life, and reacting to it. Are there any comments on that? Or do you write most of the lyrics, or is it a collective effort?
I write the lyrics.
Is there a large aspect of ad-libbing there, or is everything written and then you kind of bounce back and forth?
It's pretty different on this record. The first record was mainly ad-libbed, like 60-40, and this one was like 80-20, like 20 ad-libbed, 80 written, alone in a tower.
Alone in a tower?
Yeah. I rented a tower for April.
At Hogwarts.
You found it.
Is that online, or maybe you don't have to talk about it if you don't want, but where inspiration comes from for the lyrics? Is there
the tower?
Common, well, is it the tower?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I guess in this band, like, and I guess in a lot of writing I do, it's very quotidian, as many people say. Like, we're just writing from experience and, like, more just, like, thoughts that I think are indicative of just where I'm at at a given point, as far as, like, I don't know, thinking through, like, a lot of daily things as they come up. And trying to like recontextualize them and like redigest them, I guess.
If you were to make it a pop culture reference like Seinfeld, and that's kind of how I think of it in a simple way, just random things that I think of. So I'm going to ask, are there random things that you do on a day-to-day basis that if you were to think about, you would realize are absolutely ridiculous? I'm going to give you an example that I think is the best answer that I've heard. It's clapping. Clapping and applauding things is such an odd thing to do that we don't really think about. It just kind of happens. There's an expectation there. Is there anything that comes to mind when I ask that question?
Yeah, I have one. All right. I've got this one. We drive in a small room between various metropolises of over 2 million people are over in order to find 150 to 250 who want to watch us pluck strings.
Yeah.
And in that time we see no one that we know. And we never cook for ourselves.
That's
what are you referencing?
It's just this like thing that I've
it's just something you thought about, you happen to think about.
I think that's really interesting. I think like the Seinfeld thing is apt, but also like when you appraise your world like that, because you can do that with everything, and like it can take turns, it can spool off in exact opposite directions. I had this moment before we went on tour where I took a shower, and I got out of the shower, and I was like, I commented to somebody that was in the room, like, isn't it just like insane that like there's this like place in my apartment which is otherwise totally dry and very small, where like I can just splash water everywhere.
and like in a totally chaotic way, and then just like do nothing, just leave and return into my totally calm, dry space and leave the chaos of like the water that I've, like, it's as if I took a hose and just like hose down a room, which I would never do in any other room, and yet there's this space that exists, like, and then I like zoom out and like the rest of my building is like so dry, and like I would never spray a hose over like anything else there, and then like and like that's kind of one of those moments where it's like sort of like the lens of focus goes out and it's like, what is this crazy, this kooky thing that we do? But then, yeah, like, you can also, you can do that in, like, more negative ways where it's, like, you know, like, people always bring up the, like, supermarket moment in, like, the first album
or whatever. It's pointless, or, but it doesn't have to be pointless.
Yeah, or, like, even in the van, it's, like, it's either, like, this magical thing that, like, you're sitting in this room, or it's, like, kind of scary and alienating that, like, I'm, like, you're suspended and traveling at 100 kilometers an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, like, one is right and one is wrong. It's like they're both thoughts that can enter when you start, like, I don't know. It's kind of like a form of alienation, but it's sort of like, I don't know. In other ways, that same, like, tool of, like, viewing a thing can, like, remind you of, like, its magic in a certain sense, but.
A couple comments on those. I like the shower thing, because you're saying it's all this chaos, but it's also the place where you're cleaning yourself. So it's you're doing the complete opposite of what's happening in the room. There's all this chaos, but you're trying to clean yourself. And then, just to get back to Harry Potter, the car. Just think about this next time you're in the van driving at like 100 kilometers an hour. Toss something in the air or toss something to each other, and it doesn't move. It's just as if you're in a vacuum. It's very strange. And it doesn't seem strange when you're doing it so close to each other. But in Harry Potter, there's like the Weasley's car, which expands inside. And just imagine that, like if you're driving on a highway with a long 100-foot car and you're throwing something back and forth there, then it'd be very strange that the object is not moving even though you're going 100 kilometers an hour.
I think that would be really useful to think about getting into this expanding car thing. Mm-hmm. It sounds great. If we got one for tour, we get like a ping pong table.
That'd be great.
I prefer just to learn how to use port keys. That make touring a lot more easy.
Yeah, that would take the thrill out of it, though.
The port key is basically the tour bus, right? Like, it's like you go to sleep. Yeah, yeah, it's
Like, like Tim Gates thinking about time travel. Yeah.
Yeah. Tim said the other day, "Is okay if I?" Tim was talking about going to sleep as ridding yourself of consciousness when you don't want to be conscious, and I said that I think of it more as a form of sleeping as time travel. So you just go to sleep and you wake up and you're where you need to be.
I think about that a lot. Like, if you go to sleep early, like, I'll just force myself to go to sleep early sometimes if there's nothing else for me to do. It's like, that would just be painful 3 hours just to sit awake and not do anything.
Well, this is our lives now. The amount of times I've been like, all right, it's 11 a.m., time for a nap. Right? I want to not think about this fan for a little bit.
But yeah, time travel is the more magical way.
Which I think well executes what you were saying.
Yeah, it's good. How much longer does the tour have? You're going to Seattle tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is this kind of the tail end or the middle?
This is the exact middle, basically. Okay. Like, in fact, I think it is the middle because it's 30 days. Pretty sure it's exactly 30 days. And this is day 15. So I think, we've got another what we just did again, basically.
So you do need more audience.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're all still based in Montreal, yes? Mm-hmm. For some reason, I heard something that... See, as my information has been off, but in Radioland, when we're charting albums or whatever, you have to put certain content tags, and so, like, yours would be CanCon, so that people know it's Canadian. And someone put out an email asking the whole list, is Ott still CanCon? And I was very confused about that question because I'm not sure why it would have come up.
It's an interesting question. I'm kind of shocked that has happened because, to be totally real for a second, there was a time when we weren't getting labeled as CanCon when we should have been, because the rules for being CanCon in some context, not Maple, but the other rules just involve residing in Canada for 6 months prior to the recording of your record, which we all have. But none of us are actually Canadian, so that's
where the question comes up. Yeah,
but
I got it.
If anyone is asking, we are actually, definitely CanCon, except if you're a Canadian grant body, in which case, no, we're not CanCon.
Okay.
South of
Interesting.
But if you are a Canadian grandpa, yeah. you're working on it.
Yeah. And if you'd like to bend the rules a little.
Where are you all from originally?
Portland.
Portland, okay.
New Hampshire.
Australia. Melbourne, Australia.
I'm from New Jersey.
Okay, so almost all Americans from Las Vegas, myself. So
oh,
mainly
oh,
American.
I had a very freaky dinner in Las Vegas last year.
Hugely, well, so far half set in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
It's called The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
Is it wild?
Yeah, it's kind of like Fear and Loathing.
It's not wild. It's kind of, this part is set in like the suburban areas outside.
That, yeah, yeah.
States,
see, so that's where I grew up. So I was going to say, it's,
well,
yeah, it's not exciting if you're growing up in suburbia.
What was that song that we listened to on the way into Las Vegas last night?
Oh, the one from Ocean's 11.
Yeah, yeah.
Elvis versus JXL, A Little Less Conversation remix.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
If you listen to that driving through Las Vegas, you will feel instantly like you're in.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Which was a great feeling, to be honest.
Yeah.
We all sort of
we were all like looking at the window.
Did you go to the fountains or whatever?
And
early
listen
in
to
the
Claire
morning?
De Lune?
No, we actually, so I remember,
your heist.
I remember very distinctly what I was trying to do the whole time while we were listening to this was try to find the funniest poster, like a billboard, the funniest poster of a magician. And I remember I took a few different photos, but none of them were particularly satisfying, and I remember feeling like pretty let down that I like wasn't able to do my one job, which was get the funniest photo of a magician.
It's hard because each one was funnier than the last.
And sometimes I would like take a photo and be like, yes, I nailed it, and then a funnier one would pass, and I'd be like, oh my god. But yeah.
It's absurd. Is there anything particularly exciting happening in Montreal, musically or even in art, or anything that you noticed recently that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a bunch of good bands like Germany around our friends.
No, not for
sure. Yeah, like, all right, so a couple. Harsh Reality, they're really great. Nenon, Gashrat.
Cheap Wig,
yeah. Ylang Ylang, it's really good.
The Past
is great. Wreckage with Stick. Wreckage with Stick is great. James Goddard's Skin Tone.
It's very good.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff. Like,
yeah, it's a tough question. It's a big city.
Yeah, no, it's like, it's interesting. Like, every time we go back home, I love going to see shows because it's such a different thing. Like, even, it just like even feels different than, you know, like playing a show with a band I really like on tour. It's just like you go home and you see this band that like you saw, you know, a month or more before you left on tour, and they're just like really, like they're even better than last time.
Yeah.
And it's like watching people grow like that is really exciting. And like, I feel like everybody probably feels like this about their scene, but like, I feel like people just make really interesting and like weird music really consistently, and so like every time I see something new that someone's working on, I'm just like where is this coming from? Like, this is so, it's so like not of the moment, and like it just, it feels like it's so purely coming from like a place of just desire to make like really great music, really interesting stuff.
In order to fill out an hour-long radio program, I pick some songs to fill things out. I'm going to take some of the Montreal suggestions. If you could pick anything, maybe one or two, as a group, any songs to wrap up the show.
That's great. Can I ask, can I pull the room for me?
Yeah.
Can we do I Feel Extra Natural one more?
Yeah, that's great.
So Level Up song?
Totally.
Okay, I Feel Extra Natural by Level Up. Or the Trace Mountain version, either way.
How do you all feel about Sabbath by Jenny Havel?
Yeah,
that's great.
Oh, that's good. Okay, great. That's a good one. All right.
And then if you want to throw Elvis versus JXL in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I might do that, actually. Okay.
Maybe just a
that
couple
sounds
seconds.
Good. Yeah, yeah. That'll fade out.
Twice in a row.
Or I'll just put it, I'll just have it in the background of the entire interview and just have
it.
All right, well, thanks so much for sitting down with me, you guys. Good luck with the show tonight and with your crazy travels tomorrow morning to Seattle.
Yeah,
in me. A little more fight, a little less fun, a little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up. CITR presents The Internet, a modern soul collective straight out of LA, featuring Sid the Kid and Matt Martians. Catch them Saturday, October 31st at the Alexander Gastown. Tickets available at Red Cat, Zulu, Beat Street, Dipped, and TimberConcerts.com.
Last year, over 650 BC teens aged out of foster care without a permanent family.
Adoption is not just for babies. Teens need families too. Only 24 teens in BC were adopted last year.
November is Adoption Awareness Month. To find out more about adopting a teen, contact the Adoptive Families Association of BC. Call 1-877-ADOPT-07 or visit us at bcadopt.com.
Shindig is CITR's 30-year-old annual band competition, promoting new, local bands and providing great prizes. Shindig is starting now with finals happening in February at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse at 403 East Hastings. So come check out the talent while they compete to win studio time, features in Discorder magazine, music industry consultations, and more, while you enjoy locally made beer, pool, and a great stage. CITR DJs will spin after the bands. Shindig Night 1 is happening this Tuesday, October 20th, featuring Gun Control, the new National Film Board of Canada, and Peach Pit. Covers $5 at the door and the show is 19+. Check out CITR on Facebook or on Twitter at CITR Shindig for all the details.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer, back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Come on. I won't let you down. Follow me.
Exploding Head Movies. Monday, 7 to 9 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Alrighty then. This is The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Andy Resto. If you have been tuned in, then you would have just heard, well, Elvis Presley. Gotta say, I think it is the first time that it has happened on the show, which isn't a bad thing. A little less conversation, which was recommended by the guys from Ought, the band Ought from Montreal, as in Ought to do this, Ought to do that, who were here in town in Vancouver last week doing a cross-country North American tour. And they were nice enough to sit down with me and have a nice chat. If you missed it, I have the podcast up soon. If not, well, hope you enjoyed it. Hope the couch moving and silverware replacing sounds weren't too distracting. Anyhow, we're going to move on to some of the other song requests that they made there at the end of that interview. Some Level Up, which is a group from New York, song I Feel Extra Natural, and then a very nice suggestion without me even pushing this on them, Sabbath by Jenny Vall. Jenny Vall, friend of the program. So it all fits in together. This is The Burrow on CITR 11.9 FM, and this is I Feel Extra Natural by Level Up.
I feel insane when you get in my bed. Is something sweet that the silver juice said? And I think about you, and I turn blue, dragging my dirty shoes. Cindy skips my trampoline, and then I lose. And that's what I think about when I hear the silver juice.
I'm 6 or 7 and dreaming that I am a boy.
I emerged out of the water and went into the garden with a small silver hand between my thighs.
Later in the shower, I see a boy naked. He is contagious and I can feel mine. I was told not to stare then, but my eyes have never been larger. In and out of my body, my stare kept growing. Ah, 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 ah. Guess that's what's called flesh memory. Oh, how I wanted to tell him that we had switched places.
held up by thin braces, metal spikes embrace my spine, my face, my cunt. I can feel myself from above, but I can't see who's holding them. It would be easy to think about submission, but I don't think it's about submission. It's about holding and being held.
I tried to ask you to come out for one.
Jenny Fall here on the Burrow CITR 101.9. That was Sabbath, as requested by Tim, the lead singer of Ought. And before that, the other group Decision was Level Up, a group from New York, with the song I Feel Extra Natural. Thank you to the members of Ought for taking the time to sit down with me last week and chat for a bit. It's always a bit of a whirlwind, I'm sure, going on tour and trying to manage promo, etc., while still staying on top of your game. And they were on top of it. It's a very nice show. Anyhow, thanks again to those guys. Their new record, Sun Coming Down, is terrific. And I recommend everyone go check it out. I'm sure if you've been tuned into the station, you've heard some tracks over the last few weeks from that record. Before wrapping things up, a couple of things to mention. Tomorrow is October 20th. A couple things happening tomorrow night. The primary thing, as far as we are concerned here at CITR, is the opening night of Shindig 2015. It is now at Pat's Pub this year, and it should be a good time, as always. As always, there will be jokes for beer, Ben Lai will be hosting, and a new fresh batch of young groups and artists will be on display for everybody, starting next Tuesday, and running every Tuesday for about 9 weeks or so. Also tomorrow night at the Rickshaw is Deaf Heaven. Deaf Heaven's coming to town. New Bermuda is their latest record, and it is it's pretty good. It's more of a cyclone, like a raging ocean versus the blazing sunshine of Sunbather. But it's pretty good. And they're going to be here in town tomorrow with Tribulation playing at the Rickshaw. So if that's your thing, head on down to Maine and Hastings and check out Deaf Heaven. Maybe you can swing both Shindig and Deaf Heaven. That's what I'm going to try to do. We'll see. A couple of live in studios happening over the next week or so. Tomorrow at 5 during Discord Radio, Mesa Luna, local Vancouver duo, is going to stop by here at the station, play us a live set. And then next Tuesday as well, Tuesday afternoon, Dilly Dally from Toronto is going to be coming by, and they will be playing live in our lounge. And that one stressed me out a bit. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be during lunchtime. We'll see what happens. You just gotta go through with it. We're supposed to be radicals here at CITR. Anyhow, stay tuned for those. And thank you all for listening. Next week, hoping to have a band on, or possibly an interview with a group called Quaaludes. Q-U-A-A-L-U-D-E-S, who are coming to town here in Vancouver this Saturday. So either going to try and swing it to where they can come by the show, or I'll just have another pre-recorded interview with them next week. Alrighty, to finish things off here, we're going to hear some of Montreal's new groups that some of the members of Ott were mentioning, namely Harsh Reality and Gash Rat. Harsh Reality I was familiar with from before. They're on a record label called Misery Loves Company, which is very good. Gash Rat, I was not aware of who this was, so I listened to it earlier today, and it's pretty good. It's noisy, young, they look like young kids, a duo. Looks like they got in their garage or their basement and just kind of screaming and playing around, and it's good. It's nice energy. Gash Rat has an album called Downs. I'm going to hear the song called Stupid, and right now, off of a release called Mope Throne. This is the song EN by Harsh Reality from Montreal. Thank you all for listening. This has been The Burrow on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned. A little bit of soul on next. It's going to be an old episode. Jade couldn't make it by today, but you know, if you've missed it or if you just love it that much, you should stay tuned. It's still going to be a nice soulful blend to juxtapose what I'm about to play. It's Harsh Reality on CITR 101.9 FM.